Imagine, you're loaning a pretty large sum of money to an acquaintance, right? And this person has a fairly well-documented history of, you know, just forgetting to pay people back.
Oh, yeah. We all know someone like that.
Right. So you might still lend them the money because, I mean, you want to help them out, but you are absolutely going to ask for some kind of serious collateral this time.
You'd be crazy not to.
Exactly. And that exact dynamic of risk and trust is, well, it's what you step into when you walk onto a car lot with less than perfect credit. Welcome to the Pitcott Podcast. I am your host, Bill Pitcott, and I am absolutely thrilled to be here today.
And I am Annabelle Pitcott. So excited to be co-hosting this with you today.
It's so great to have you.
The material we are unpacking today is truly transformative for anyone trying to navigate these high-stakes financial waters. I mean, it's just a game changer.
It really is. And we are incredibly energized because today's deep dive is sourced directly from the absolute bestseller ebooks on the Pitcott ebook store.
Some really incredible insights in there. So good. So to get your hands on this game-changing knowledge, visit www.pitcott.com/books to download. You are going to love it.
You definitely will.
But before we jump into the deep end today, I have a quick favor to ask all of you listening. Subscribe to our channel if you haven't. Activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. And don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating. We appreciate you giving us a 5-star rating to propel this podcast to help others too.
It really does make a huge difference for the show.
It does. Okay, so let's unpack this. We need to talk about the undeniable stress of car shopping when your credit score is basically acting like an anchor.
Oh, it's terrifying for people.
It is. You walk into that dealership and it honestly feels like sitting down at a poker table where every single player except you can see your cards.
You feel entirely exposed. I mean, the psychological assumption that the sales team makes the literal second you walk through those doors is that, well, you need a vehicle immediately, your credit is shaky, and therefore you feel trapped.
Right. They smell the desperation. Exactly. They assume you have zero leverage.
Which is the core mission of our deep dive today. Because having bad credit is absolutely not a dead end. Like, not at all.
No, it's just a different starting line.
Exactly. We are going to exhaustively guide you through the real, completely judgment-free strategies sourced from Pitcott to secure a reliable car. And you can do this without signing away the next 5 years of your hard-earned paychecks.
Which is what everyone wants to avoid.
So to beat the game, you first have to understand the opponent's strategy, right? Why do lenders and dealers instantly build this, like, massive fortress of high costs the second they see a low credit score?
Well, we have to start by decoding the actual mechanics of lending. Because a lot of buyers, you know, they feel like lenders are being punitive.
Like they're being punished.
Right. Like the bank is actively trying to punish them for past financial mistakes. But it's purely risk assessment. Interest isn't a penalty. It is simply the price you pay to rent someone else's money.
Renting money. I love that way of putting it.
Yeah. So when your credit score is low, it just signals a higher statistical probability of default. The lender is basically acting as the landlord of that money.
Right.
So they are going to charge a much higher deposit and a much higher rent to offset their perceived risk.
So they are essentially pooling risk then.
Mm-hmm.
Like if they know statistically that one out of every 10 buyers with a certain credit score might default.
Yep.
The other 9 buyers are charged higher interest to cover the bank's potential losses.
That is the exact mathematical model they use.
Yeah.
And the bricks of that defensive fortress we talked about, they are bigger down payments, steeper interest rates, and shorter loan terms.
Which just crushes the buyer.
It's brutal. Because of that perceived risk, you end up paying nearly double over the life of the loan for the exact same car that someone with excellent credit secured at a standard rate.
Oh my gosh. Paying double just because of a 3-digit number on a report.
It's staggering when you look at the math.
But the lenders are really just the first layer of the battlefield, right? Because the dealership itself is where the actual traps are set.
Oh, without a doubt.
I mean, they aren't just making a profit on the metal and rubber of the car itself. They're treating the financing as a secondary, highly lucrative product to sell you, aren't they?
Dealerships absolutely treat the financing contract as a massive profit center. I mean, some of them specifically target buyers with shaky credit because they operate on that assumption of desperation we mentioned.
Right.
If they think you have nowhere else to turn, they push significantly harder. They might take a vehicle that is genuinely worth, say, $6,000 on the open market and aggressively mark it up to $9,000 on their lot.
Just randomly inflating the price.
Because they know traditional banks won't finance you, but their subprime partners will. And they need to cover the fees those partners charge them, plus make a massive profit.
Huh. It's like paying double for a slice of pizza just because you walked into the pizzeria a few minutes late. It's completely absurd.
That's a perfect analogy. And then, you know what they do? They bury that sky-high interest rate inside a stretched-out monthly payment.
So the car magically feels affordable in the moment.
Exactly. They focus your entire attention on that one single monthly number. It's a psychological trick designed to totally distract you from the inflated sticker price and, you know, the predatory interest that's just compounding in the background.
Wow. So since a confused buyer is a profitable buyer, what are the exact countermeasures our listener can use right now on the lot to completely dismantle that strategy?
Preparation. Preparation is your ultimate countermeasure. First, you absolutely must research the car's actual market value using independent valuation tools before you go.
So you can spot that dealership markup immediately.
Right. Never, ever accept the sticker price as reality. Second, you have to negotiate the price of the vehicle before financing is even mentioned.
Keep them separated.
Do not let the sales team mix the two conversations. If they ask what you want your monthly payment to be, you redirect them straight back to the total out-the-door price of the car.
Oh, that's such a good tactic. Just refuse to play the monthly payment game.
Precisely. And third, bring your own financing to the table.
Which brings us perfectly to the ecosystem of better financing. Because since the dealership lot is essentially a minefield of markups, let's explore where else you can find funding before you ever step foot on the lot.
The internet has fundamentally shifted the power dynamic here.
It really has.
The Pitcot sources detail three major off-lot financing paths. The first is online dealer networks. So you browse vehicle listings online, and dealerships who specifically cater to bad credit portfolios reach out to you directly based on your profile.
So you just skip the lot entirely at first?
Yeah, it allows you to completely avoid driving from lot to lot facing those awkward face-to-face rejections.
But, I mean, you are essentially trusting a form on the internet, which requires some serious vetting, right?
Oh, absolutely. Trust must be verified. You must search the dealer's name alongside the word complaints on consumer protection sites before engaging.
And the golden rule here, never wire money or sign anything before seeing concrete, legally binding terms in writing.
Yeah, that makes sense. I see the appeal of getting offers quickly online.
Yeah.
But what if a listener's credit report has specific nuance, like maybe a medical debt that wrecked their score, or a recent job change that an automated algorithm will just automatically flag and reject?
Right, because an algorithm won't care about the context.
Exactly. So where do they go in that situation?
That is exactly where credit unions and community banks become invaluable lifelines. They are fundamentally different from large commercial banks because they are member-focused.
Meaning what, exactly?
Meaning their mandate is to serve their community, not to maximize profit for Wall Street shareholders. You can literally sit down with a loan officer and explain the human context behind your credit score.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and many even offer specific credit builder auto loans designed entirely for people who are actively trying to repair their financial history.
That human element is just huge. But if someone wants to cast the widest net possible without leaving their couch, the sources also highlight multi-lender platforms, right?
Yes. Option three, you fill out one single application and the platform sends it to multiple lenders simultaneously.
So they do the heavy lifting for you.
Within minutes, you have multiple offers rolling in. You get to compare them side by side. It forces lenders to compete for your business, which naturally drives down the rates.
Now, people often worry that applying to multiple lenders will ruin their already fragile credit score, you know, with all those hard inquiries.
It's a common fear, but these platforms typically use soft pulls to show you pre-qualified rates, and soft pulls do not damage your score. You just need to verify that the platform has transparent fee structures and highly rated customer reviews.
And speaking of setting yourself up for success, even a tiny credit boost before you shop changes the math, doesn't it?
Oh, enormously.
Like, a 20 to 30 point score bump can actually shift your rate tier. Because lenders aren't looking for absolute perfection. They really just want to see a positive trajectory.
Exactly. Showing a trend of on-time payments leading up to your application significantly lowers your risk profile. And securing one of these off-lot loans leads to the ultimate shield, the pre-approval.
Yes.
Getting pre-approved by a credit union or an online lender is your winning card.
Oh, I just love the mental image of walking into a dealership, knowing exactly what you can spend, and holding all the cards. You aren't hoping they grant you a loan. You already have the money.
It flips the power dynamic completely on its head. It allows you to set a hard budget, negotiate essentially as a cash buyer, and it gives you the ultimate freedom to just walk away if the finance manager tries to manipulate the deal.
Wait, I do have to push back here, though.
Okay, go for it.
If we bypass the dealer's financing and walk in with this pre-approval power, how do we make sure we aren't tricking ourselves into an unmanageable budget? Because that hidden math is where the trap usually snaps shut.
That is a very real danger.
Right. So before we expose exactly how lenders manipulate those numbers, a quick reminder for you listening. Visit www.pitcott.com. Subscribe to our channel if you haven't, and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. Also, press the like button and rate us if you love our show. It helps in the recommendation algorithm so others can access it too. And don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating. All right, let's get back into the monthly payment trap.
Yes, let's break this down. This is the exact mechanism dealers use to extract maximum profit. They will stretch an auto loan out to 84 months to bury terrible interest rates.
84 months. I mean, you are essentially committing to paying off a depreciating asset well into the next decade.
Long after the car has likely started requiring major mechanical repairs.
Yeah, you'll be making payments on a car that might not even be running anymore. It's crazy.
It really is. By stretching the timeline, the daily compounding interest works against you for two or three extra years. The monthly payment drops to a number that feels comfortable, right? But the total cost just explodes.
Give us an example of how that math actually looks.
Okay, to break down the mechanics. Let's say you finance a $15,000 car at a 20% interest rate over 60 months. The total amount you pay back is about $23,000.
So you are paying an $8,000 premium just for the privilege of borrowing the money.
Exactly. Now look at what happens if you utilize the strategies we just discussed. You secure a pre-approval from a credit union and get an 8% interest rate over that same 60 months. The total cost drops to around $18,200.
Wow. That is nearly a $5,000 difference for the exact same vehicle.
It's massive.
Think about the massive impact that has on your life. An extra $5,000 is a vacation, it's a fully funded emergency savings account, or, you know, just deep breathing room in your monthly budget.
That's life-changing money for a lot of people.
This highlights exactly why you absolutely must run the numbers through an auto loan calculator before you even look at a car.
You must focus on the total cost, not the monthly feeling. And, you know, your greatest lever to manipulate that math in your favor is the down payment.
Because it lowers the total amount you are borrowing, meaning less principal for that interest to compound against.
It lowers the principal, yes,
yeah.
But its real power is psychological.
Really?
How so? When you put your own cash on the line, you instantly reduce the lender's exposure. If the car gets repossessed, the bank knows they won't lose as much money at auction.
I see.
By lowering their risk, you literally force them to offer you a significantly better interest rate. The goal should be a 20% down payment. On a $12,000 car, that means bringing $2,400 to the table.
Which, to be fair, can be incredibly tough to scrape together.
It can be, absolutely.
But even 10% chips away at that risk profile. And the Pitcott sources strongly advise against trading your current car in to the dealer if you need cash to build that down payment.
Dealerships will frequently lowball trade-ins, especially if they sense desperation from a subprime buyer.
So what's the alternative?
Selling your vehicle privately. It takes more effort listing it, meeting buyers, but you will capture its true market value. That extra cash becomes the heavy down payment that saves you thousands in long-term interest.
With all this math swirling around, does the type of vehicle we buy change the equation? Because there is a serious dilemma between choosing new versus used when your credit is shot.
Oh, it is a significant dilemma. Common sense usually dictates that new cars are impossible with bad credit. But surprisingly, manufacturers sometimes heavily subsidize their financing just to move excess inventory off the lots.
So you might actually find a new car incentive that beats the predatory rates lurking on a used car lot.
Exactly.
That is entirely counterintuitive. You might actually secure a lower rate on a brand new vehicle.
You might, but you have to look at the total loan balance. Even with a subsidized interest rate, an $8,000 reliable used car is almost always the smarter financial move than a $20,000 new car when you are trying to rebuild your finances.
Because the principal is so much smaller.
Exactly. You are taking out a significantly smaller principal loan, which means far less total interest paid, plus lower insurance premiums and registration fees.
Oh, true. Insurance on a new car is brutal.
Plus, new cars suffer massive depreciation in the first 3 years. You want to let the first owner take that depreciation hit, not you.
Minimize the principal at all costs. I love that. Now, what if someone simply cannot get approved on their own, regardless of the vehicle? The sources discuss cosigners as a potential lifeline.
A cosigner is an incredibly powerful tool, but it is a severe financial bond.
It's risky.
Very. Piggybacking on someone else's good credit history opens doors to rates you just couldn't access alone. But the mechanics of cosigning are completely unforgiving.
Right, because if you miss a single payment, your cosigner's credit takes the exact same hit as yours.
They are legally and financially on the hook for the entire balance if you default.
You are literally asking a family member or friend to risk their own financial reputation. You absolutely must put expectations in writing to prevent lifelong resentment.
I've seen it ruin relationships.
Oh, I bet. And if a cosigner isn't an option, people often feel pushed toward those lots with the giant flashing banner screaming, "Bad credit, no problem."
Ah, the buy here, pay here lots.
Yes.
They are predatory by design because their underlying business model practically requires it to survive.
Explain the mechanics of that model, because reading about it in the Pitcot sources made me genuinely cringe.
It's pretty grim. Traditional banks refuse to fund these specific subprime loans because the statistical default risk is simply too high. So the dealership basically acts as the bank, using its own capital.
Okay, so they're lending their own money.
Right. And because they are absorbing 100% of that default risk, they buy cheap, high-mileage cars at auction, mark them up aggressively, and charge exorbitant double-digit interest.
But that's not even the worst part, right?
No, the real trap is how they secure their investment. Their entire business model relies on being able to instantly disable and recover the vehicle the very second a payment bounces.
By installing invasive GPS trackers and remote shutoff devices right into the engine, it is incredibly dystopic.
It really is.
You are essentially renting a car that the dealer still secretly owns and controls.
And they repossess the cars with ruthless speed. Their goal isn't necessarily to sell you a reliable car for the long haul. It's often to just collect your down payment, collect a few months of high interest, remotely shut off the engine when you miss a payment, repossess it, and sell it to the next desperate buyer.
Wow.
It is an endless cycle of churn.
That is just awful. So if someone listening feels like their back is completely against the wall, like maybe they live in an area with zero public transit and they absolutely must use one of these lots just to get to work, what is their absolute non-negotiable safety net?
Your safety net is your willingness to walk away.
Say more about that.
You must read every single line of the contract. You literally force the dealer to state the exact interest rate, the total cost of the vehicle over the life of the loan, and the exact grace periods for late payments.
Make them say it out loud.
Yes. If they deflect your questions, if they try to rush the paperwork, or refuse to give you straight answers, you get up and leave. Your dignity and your financial safety are worth far more than an overpriced vehicle on that lot.
Dignity over desperation. I love that. Okay, so let's transition to the master plan. Let's say you survive the purchase, you dodge the predatory traps, and you secure the keys.
The best feeling.
Right. But how do we turn this high-stakes loan into a tool for long-term financial freedom? Because the goal isn't just surviving the bad credit, it's thriving beyond it.
Exactly. The first step of the master plan is recognizing that you don't have to keep a toxic loan forever.
It's not a life sentence.
No. This is a temporary stepping stone. After 6 to 12 months of consistent on-time payments, your credit score will naturally improve.
Mm.
When you hit specific score milestones like crossing 600 or 650, you use that momentum to refinance.
You hit the reset button. So you take your improved credit profile to a credit union, they pay off the bad loan from the dealer, and issue you a brand new loan at a reasonable rate.
Right. And dropping your rate from, say, 18% to 8% through refinancing can save you hundreds of dollars a year. But, and this is crucial, to reach those milestones, your post-signing habits must be flawless.
You have to be disciplined.
You set up autopay immediately to guarantee you never miss a payment. And you must avoid the mathematical black hole of negative equity.
Well, let's define negative equity, because dealerships love to gloss over this. Being in negative equity means you are underwater on a loan.
Yep.
The car might physically be worth $10,000 on the open market, but you still owe the bank $13,000.
And dealerships will cheerfully offer to roll that $3,000 of negative equity right into your brand new car loan.
Which sounds helpful in the moment.
But it's devastating. If you do that, you are instantly taking out a loan for more than your new vehicle is actually worth. You are paying interest on a car you don't even own anymore. It traps you in a cycle of debt that becomes nearly impossible to escape.
It's like paying off a ghost. But if you navigate this carefully, an auto loan is an incredibly powerful credit building tool because it's an installment loan, right?
Yeah.
It shows future lenders that you can handle a major structured long-term commitment.
Absolutely.
Every single on-time payment builds trust with the credit bureaus. I love the fact that a bad credit auto loan, when handled correctly, is the very mechanism that repairs your credit profile.
It is the vehicle, pun intended, that drives your financial reputation back up.
Oh.
But you only get to experience that benefit if you survive the signing table by avoiding the absolute deal-breaker red flags.
The warning signs that mean you grab your bag and literally run out the door.
Exactly. Never sign a contract that has blank lines where numbers or terms should be. That's a huge one. And beware of yo-yo financing.
Oh, break down yo-yo financing for us, because that's when you drive the car home. But the bank hasn't officially funded the loan yet, right?
Yes. It is called spot delivery. The dealer lets you take the car home, assuming the loan will be approved.
You show it off to your friends, you park it in your driveway.
Right, you get emotionally attached. But then they call you days later claiming the financing fell through, forcing you to come back and sign a new contract at a much higher interest rate.
That is so manipulative.
If they try this, return the keys and walk away. Finally, watch out for mandatory add-ons like drastically overpriced extended warranties that they refuse to remove from the final price. The rule of thumb.
Yep.
One red flag is a deal breaker. Two means you run.
I want you to give our listener a final empowering summary of this entire Pitcot playbook so they never, ever forget it when they walk onto that lot.
Okay, the playbook is this. Spot the inflated sticker prices by researching the true market value. Dodge the predatory interest rates by recognizing the mechanics of the buy here, pay here traps.
Mm-hmm.
Compare multiple loan offers using online platforms to force lenders to compete for you.
Yeah.
And above all, walk into that dealership pre-approved. You dictate the terms of the deal when you control the money.
You have so much more leverage than the dealership wants you to believe. So think about the car you've been picturing. Paint a vivid, positive picture of yourself driving that car home, gripping the steering wheel, and knowing in your gut that you secured a fair, honest deal because you understood the mechanics of the game.
That's powerful.
You didn't get rushed. You didn't get played. You won.
That mindset changes absolutely everything.
We've covered a massive amount of ground today, and I want to leave you with this lingering question to mull over as you go about your day. What if the best financial decision you ever make isn't actually about the car you buy today, but about how you leverage this very loan to completely rewrite your financial future?
A truly profound way to frame it.